Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Ever get that kind of feeling like something's just off with a neighbor? You know, that like pit in your stomach feeling?
Yeah.
We're diving into a letter today, and it really takes that feeling to a whole other level.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about parental favoritism, verbal abuse, and when is it right to step in, if ever. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
So our source material is this really raw and personal letter sent to a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it describes this neighbor situation that's just, well, it's a nightmare. And it goes way beyond just like your typical noise complaints and stuff. It gets really heavy, really fast.
Okay.
It's about this child and the adults around her, or I guess the lack of adults around her, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So the letter starts out like a lot of these stories do, right? Dream home. Quiet neighborhood, friendly waves over the fence.
Right.
And then things start to take a turn, you know? Mm. The letter writer starts picking up on how the mom next door treats her two kids, a boy and a girl, totally differently.
And what's interesting is it's not like glaringly obvious at first. You know, the letter writer kind of sets this scene of normalcy almost.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's like it lulls you into this false sense of security before you start to see like the cracks.
And then it's like, bam, out of nowhere. The letter writer quotes the mother saying to her daughter, "Your voice makes me wish I was deaf." I mean,
oh, wow.
How do you even respond to that as another parent?
I know, right? And that's the thing about verbal abuse, especially towards a kid. It's so insidious.
Yeah.
It just slowly chips away at their self-worth, you know, like their sense of being. And the younger they are, the worse it is. They don't know any different.
Right.
It becomes part of who they think they are.
And the letter writer picks up on this right away. They actually mention having a past experience with this, like this exact kind of abuse from their own mother.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, it's making them hypersensitive to what's happening next door, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's like their past is giving them this whole other layer of insight into the situation. It's like they can recognize the signs.
Exactly. They describe feeling sick to their stomach, hearing the mom's words, calling it a verbal sledgehammer.
Ugh, it's awful.
They start pointing out too, like all this blatant favoritism toward the son. Like he can literally do no wrong, but the daughter is always the one getting it.
And that's that classic golden child versus scapegoat dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
Creates such a toxic family system.
Totally.
You have one kid who is just idealized, and then the other one is constantly being put down and blamed. It messes everyone up in the long run.
Yeah, it's really messed up. And it gets worse. The letter writer describes this awful moment where the daughter's crying because her brother, the golden child, hit her.
Oh, no.
And the mom's response, she goes, "I don't care. He must have a reason to. You're probably irritating him like you irritate me."
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just my stomach dropped just hearing that.
Right. Like, what do you even...
Not only is she completely dismissing this little girl's pain, but she's justifying the son's aggression.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, she's making the daughter feel like she deserves that treatment, like she's inherently bad.
It's so toxic, that deep-seated stuff.
So, so toxic. We're way past boys will be boys territory here, right?
Way past.
So then, and this is where it gets really unsettling, the letter writer describes an interaction with the mom. It feels like it's straight out of a psychological thriller.
Okay.
So they're making small talk. Actually, the mom had just invited them to a barbecue. They seem almost friendly. But then right as she's leaving.
Like a switch flips.
Yes. She just casually mentions that her daughter is on a wait list for ADHD and autism assessments. Like just drops it in there.
Oh, wow.
Almost implying that's the reason for how she treats her.
And here's where it gets really interesting. I mean, interesting in like a manipulative and kind of scary way.
Right, right.
Abusers use diagnoses like that as a shield all the time.
Oh, totally.
Like a way to deflect and silence their victims. It's like she's trying to medicalize her abuse, make it seem like it's not her fault.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sadly, it often works. People are less likely to question a medical diagnosis.
Right.
They don't want to overstep, especially with something they see as a complex family situation.
Ooh, totally. But the letter writer sees right through it. They actually have some personal experience with ADHD and autism, and they're adamant that the daughter is not exhibiting those behaviors. If anything, it makes them even more sure this is abuse.
That's huge. They're calling out the manipulation because of their own experiences. That's huge.
So now we have this really clear but super disturbing picture emerging. A mother who is emotionally abusing her daughter, a son caught in the middle of all of it, and this incredibly concerned neighbor who's wrestling with what to do.
Yeah.
But On top of it all, the letter writer is also, understandably, terrified of making things worse for the little girl, especially because, get this, the mom works for the police.
Oh, wow. That adds a whole other layer to it. I mean, who wants to go up against that?
Right. Talk about an imbalance of power.
The letter writer's fear is completely valid. Abusers are all about power and control. And now that dynamic is even more complicated and dangerous.
And it's about to get even more intense because things escalate from here. So the letter writer is stuck, you know. They know something's really wrong next door, but they're also scared of making it worse, especially with the whole police connection.
Well, absolutely. That's a lot of pressure.
Right.
So that classic bystander thing, but like times 10 with that power dynamic.
Right. And the letter writer even says the mom has this like air of untouchability.
Ugh, yeah, I bet. And that's textbook too. You know, abusers want that. Projecting that image like they're invincible.
Makes you feel like you can't speak up.
Exactly. It makes the victim feel like no one will believe them anyway, or that it'll just be worse if they try.
Which makes what happens next even more. Like,
well, disturbing is an understatement. So the letter writer's home, it's the afternoon, and they hear this huge e-crash coming from next door.
They look out their window and the daughter is running out of the house, just sobbing. And the mom's right behind her, screaming threats.
God, that poor kid. Can you imagine being that scared of your own parent?
It's awful. That's like a primal fear, you know, the person who's supposed to protect you.
Totally. The ultimate betrayal.
And for the letter writer, that's it. That's the breaking point.
They had to do something.
They call Child Protective Services.
Wow.
Which, you know, that's a huge decision. You don't know what's going to happen.
Huge. Especially with the mom's job. That takes guts.
Yeah. They were worried about retaliation for sure. But in that moment, it was like something clicked. Like they had to do it.
You just can't unsee something like that.
And the letter writer talks about how for them, reporting, it was almost like a physical release.
I can only imagine.
Like all these years of feeling powerless, you know? Because they mentioned that in their own childhood with their mom.
Yeah, right.
It was like they were finally taking a stand. It's powerful. You know, it says, I'm not okay with this. Not just to the abuser, but to anyone who's ever felt stuck like that.
Totally. But then,
yeah.
And I think this is where that feeling of helplessness comes back in.
Yeah.
Nothing really seems to change.
Oh, no. Really?
Well, outwardly, at least.
Mm-hmm.
The letter writer mentions seeing a social worker's car a few days later.
Okay.
But then things just kind of go back to normal.
Or what passes for normal in that house.
Exactly. It's not normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
The letter writer says the yelling is less frequent, but it's like this simmering thing now. And the daughter, she doesn't even scream when she plays anymore.
Oh, God. Like she's learned to be silent. And that's the thing about abuse. It's not always a big blowout fight, you know? Mm-hmm. It can be this underlying current that just poisons everything.
Totally.
That little girl, she might be thinking it's her fault, that she deserves it. That does so much damage long term.
It's heartbreaking. This is where I found, I don't know if it's hope exactly, but something unexpected. The letter writer ends up having this face-to-face with the mother. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, like a confrontation.
Tell me.
So the mom shows up at the door.
Okay.
And you can tell she knows. She accuses the letter writer of making the report.
Oh, God.
Tells them to stay out of my business. It's scary stuff, you know, like after everything else, to have that happen.
Totally. And it's a good reminder that this stuff, like speaking up, it has risks.
Yeah.
So users want to stay in control. And if that means intimidating someone, that's what they'll do.
Exactly. So does the letter writer back down? What happens?
What happens?
So they don't back down. And I think this is like a turning point in a way, you know, they could have just given in. It'd be easier.
Right.
But they don't. They stand their ground. They tell the mom, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but also basically what you're doing is wrong.
Whoa.
Like not in those words.
No, I get it. Powerful though. So even though like officially nothing changed, maybe that one thing that the mom knows someone's watching.
It's like it poked a hole in that image she's trying to project, you know?
Right. Exactly. She's not untouchable anymore.
Like the letter doesn't say what happened next door exactly, but she knows.
That's got to count for something, right?
It does. It does. And I kept thinking, the letter writer, they might not be able to, like, fix everything, but they broke the silence.
That's huge, though.
Yeah.
Because we think, oh, a report, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the letter ends. It's not tied up neatly.
Life never is.
No. And we want that, you know, but we're left with that unease, like, what did happen to that little girl? We don't know.
No, we don't get that.
And it's okay to sit with that, because these situations are messy, and the effects of what happened, they last.
This whole deep dive, it's been, well, a lot. But we have to talk about this stuff because abuse stays hidden if we don't.
It does. And sometimes our part, it's not even doing something big. It's just listening, you know, not judging, just being there for someone.
And letting them know, I believe you. That's huge. This letter, it's hard, but it reminds us we can't just look away. Something feels off. We have to listen to that.
Exactly. And you never know, even if we feel like we didn't do enough, maybe all those small acts, they add up. Maybe it gets better.
It's a world worth fighting for. And if anyone out there listening, if this brought up anything for you, it's okay to not be okay. You're not alone. Reach out. There's help. You deserve to be safe.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.